I've got a couple little housekeeping things I want to do so I can get into the message this morning. But before I do that, I want to just take a second and pray, because this is probably the most serious message I've ever given. And I want you to hear it that way. It has been a lifelong message that God has not only taught me in terms of what the Word of God says, but a lifestyle that has brought me to this place. And so that's the place I'm going to be speaking from, is my lifelong calling through my experiences and my knowledge of who the Father is. So let's just take a minute and pray. Father God, we love you. We ask for your presence here today. We ask that you open eyes and open ears to hear and see what you're doing in the now. And so, Father God, it is for your glory and for the sake of your great name that you have brought us here. And so, Lord, I just ask that what is said today would be heard far beyond the words that people grasp and struggle or have a hard time receiving, that it does something in their spirit that they cannot get away from. They cannot just push the delete button and move on, but they were able to stop. This is a Kairos moment in history right now, Lord. And so we want to take that serious and peer into your heart, not only for us, but for our world and for our country and for our families, for our churches. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I've got a word that I need to give to Harmony. This is particularly for Harmony, the church, the body here called Harmony. And here's the word. The Lord says, the gates of joy over you are opening. Hallelujah. The gates of joy over you are opening. This is your time. You have been tested, and yet you've held on to the promises, and you have not let go. Now I'm about to release you into the fullness, the full expression of my heart into this area of your influence. He said, John, remember James Gall's word. For now is the fullness of that you're supposed to walk in. And you guys, the next part I'm going to say, you're going to have to help him with, okay, as a body. That's what I'm talking to you as Harmony. This is your word for you. John, you must walk in your apostolic calling. Your brothers are going to need you. God will send you to those that need your help to navigate into this new era. New people will come and old members will return. Everything that you have endured, those hard times, those hard places, those things you've walked in, has been for a time such as this. Amen. So I'm not responsible any longer. I've done my part. I want to take just a quick quiz. How many of you are really frustrated, confused? You put the words in it about what you see. You don't understand what's going on in our world, but also what's going on in our country. I mean, raise your hand. I want to see him. Amen. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. Because if you guys know, maybe I'll sit down and then you come up here and teach me. I'm going to call this message a clashing of two kingdoms. A clashing of two kingdoms. And these verses you are well familiar with. So sometimes when we lose our place and we don't know where we are, we have to go back to the last place we figured out where we were. And we have to start backwards again. And Jesus is doing that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now, before I jump into these familiar passages, I'm going to tell you a few things. I'm probably going to offend some of you guys. God is not an American. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. In fact, he really don't give a rip about politics. That's your stuff. That's our stuff. He thinks he's king, and he acts like it. So you didn't vote him in, and you can't vote him out. He really doesn't give a rip about your opinion. As a matter of fact, he never even asked about it when he moves. God is moving right now. My major concern for the church, the body of Christ, is that we will lose our focus on who we are, really are. You see, I am, and I've told this congregation many years ago, I am not a black Christian. I'm not an American black Christian. I'm not an African American black Christian. I'm not a Negro black Christian. I'm not a colored black Christian. Those were all the things they've called me from birth to now. I've been birth certificate colored, graduation black. Somewhere in there was Negro, and now I'm African American. Now, I hadn't changed. Keep that in mind. I hadn't changed. Here's my point. If you don't know who you are, then the world will put a tag on you and tell you who you are. And that's what the struggle of these two kingdoms is going on right now. If you put anything before following Christ, that thing has become an idol in your life. And you must bow down to it. You must serve it. Because you see, without it, you don't know who you are. The question is not of the day, is God on our side? The question is, are we on God's side? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This is that time for us to come out of the place and say, here's who I am. Here's my Father. Let me introduce you to him. You know, he created the world. He made me. And I've got a purpose in it. Now, this is the thing that really makes me upset. Because the church will get into the rhetoric that we see going on out there right now and bow down to the smoke screens that the enemy is blowing at you. I've had people say, what about the statues? What about this? And what about that? Is that wrong? Is that right? The greatest lie, listen to me, that you're ever going to swallow is one that has a little bit of the truth in it. The truth is that's wrong. Shouldn't be done. But my loyalty is not there. I'm not going to bow there. My Lord has never lost 100% all the time. Every time. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And he's building his kingdom here and now. Let me just tell you real quick, because I don't want to forget this piece. For those of you, and I'm talking about racial issues right now, that think this thing is going to go back to normal, you are sadly mistaken. It ain't that. God has got his finger on the pulse of this thing, and it is not going to go away. But there's a purpose to it. Judgment always starts in the house of God. Always. I get sick of people in the church pointing at the world. Lost people act lost. That's what they do. You are the one from another kingdom. You serve another king. And you have to understand that the kingdom of God does not work like the kingdom of the world. The principles are totally different. The keys don't fit those doors. And so if you're going to understand how to operate in the kingdom of God, which you have been transformed into, then you got to get in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the Word of God. You think about the Word of God, it cuts both ways. It's not opinionated, other than its own opinion. And it's not opinion, it's a fact. I get so sick of people saying, you know, I don't quite think that's right. I go, what does that got to do with anything? Does that make it less true because you don't believe it? The law of gravity works whether you believe it or not. You get up there and jump off the side of a building, you coming down if you hadn't made preparation for it. Doesn't make any difference if you believe it or not. And that's how that settledness of getting in the world mindset, that I get a chance to vote on truth, I get a chance to take my opinion about truth and put it in my life, and it's supposed to produce something, and you wind up with a big fat zero. And then you turn around and look, wonder why that didn't work. This is that time for us to realize God is calling us to a higher place. I said I was going to do some scriptures. Let's do some scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now Jesus, let me kind of paraphrase it, he's with his disciples. And the question of the hour is, who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so I want to pick up right there, because I want to get through this so that I can get you out of here. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple this question: what are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? They asked. Some are convinced that you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah reincarnate, or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Here's the question of the day: but who do you say that I am? And Peter, or Simon, spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you did not discover this on your own, but your Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you this name, Peter, which means a stone. And this truth of whom I am will be the bedrock, the foundation in which I will build my church, my legislative assembly. And the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. He then gave his disciples strict orders not to tell anyone that he was God's anointed one. Now, here's a couple things, observations about this. The message of Jesus' day, we think, is salvation. It's not. It wasn't. It was kingdom. It was always kingdom. Why? The culture understood kingdom. As a matter of fact, the Roman government at that particular time was the greatest kingdom that ever existed on the earth. It was not a democracy. It was not a republic. In kingdom, kingdom means king's domain or dominion of the king. So if this world is God's kingdom that he's given to man, then he's given us the authority. Go back and read your Bibles. I can tell you, some of you are looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Read your word. It tells you, Genesis, go back and read the word. He gave dominion to man. Now, man gave it to the devil. And Jesus had to come back and redeem it. And he paid for it with his blood. So you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So, as we glare into this thing, I want to make a couple observations. It's so amazing that the Lord will put things in our lives to help us in our faith to build what he's saying to us or doing with us in the moment to help us understand who we are. Now, if you read about Simon, who's now named Peter, a little bit beforehand, I don't know that you would want... That was the last thing he was a rock. But he became a rock. Why? Because God loved him into that place. And every time he thought about it, every time he looked at it, it was the same way with Abraham. Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Your descendants would be as numerous as the stars and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And he sends Abram out to a land he did not know. Can you imagine that? People telling this stable man, wealthy man of many means, you're going to be the father of many nations, and yet he has no children. But every time he was a tent weather, and every time he looked up in the sky, he thought about the promise. And every time he walked along the shore, he thought about the promise. Here is my promise. Here's my reality. And in between that is a promise that God made me. He's never lied. And so here's that install that he's made and that truth that carries in the life of every believer. This is your time, church. This is your time. The church is called the ecclesia. It's the big church, not this little, you understand what I'm saying, people that assemble. In fact, when the building's closed, I saw a sign that says the church has left the building. I said, oh my God, the devil overplayed his hand. He thought he was keeping us out. He just launched us in. We're getting outside of these walls. We're going out there and wreak havoc on his kingdom. Because that's what we're called to do, you know. And so here's this man carrying this thing. So Jesus is the architect of the church. This thing that really frustrates me, that so I'm a very simple-minded man. I take the word, I read the word, I do what the word says. Now, I don't always understand that. But the power of a promise is in the one that gave it. And here's this man, he's got, I mean, Jesus, don't get upset with me because I called him a man. The Bible called him a man. He says there is not but one between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. I didn't meet into that, he did. And so here he is, he set the example for us to follow. And every word he speaks comes to pass. And so all I have to do is follow him. But he's the architect. Here's the problem we're running into right now in the earth, and particularly in Christendom, and particularly between race. We both races has a different, or many races, has a different interpretation of how the church ought to be built. Let me tell you something. If your inch is different than his inch, you can't build a house like that. You got to agree the measurement is. The measurement in the kingdom is the word of God. It's not left to interpretation. You don't vote on it. You can't take it out. You can't add to it. Its authority stands alone. So I see these people trying to, I'm thinking, that's the most stupidest thing I think I've ever done. You are not the architect. Your job is to look at the plans and follow the plan. And so we're never going to get this race thing right unless we agree upon the plumb line. If your wrong is different than my wrong. And the world is telling us that right now. That's your interpretation. No, it's not. God didn't leave us that. And you better thank God he didn't leave you that. But in that carries the authority that he's given us. We should be. He's given us this planet, and his whole mindset and idea is that earth would look just like heaven because it's rule from heaven's perspective. That's what Jesus said to his disciples, right? They said, teach us how to pray. He said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's amazing to me, during this pandemic, Christians are sitting there worrying about if they're going to make it or not. And I'm thinking, you mean die? You mean like go to heaven? Or are you unsure about that? Here's the reality, folks. I want to go there, but I got work to do. And until my work is done, I can't go home. Okay? I hope you feel the same way. But here's the truth. There ain't nobody there want to come back here. They wouldn't trade places with you for nothing. There is no sickness there. Everybody there is already saved. And the last thing is so true. I cannot bring Jesus any more glory than I have already sent ahead. So this is the place where all the work gets done. And I sent it on ahead of me. For the glory of God, so that when I stand before Jesus, I've got a crown to put at his feet. And everything costs, folks. It costs. There's a price to pay. Jesus is the architect, and he has given us the authority. He carries the plans and revelation of heaven. So what does that mean for us? Because we have not seen heaven, we must do the things to understand about the building of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we have got to have his eyes, his heart, his view. You see, when you run to the end of the line and you say, what can the worst man can do to me? And the worst he can do is kill you. You know, it's kind of like Paul. You know what how Paul was, right? Paul says, you know, I'm in this in between, this twix. I it's more beneficial for me to stay here, but I'm for you, but I really long to be with the Lord. For to die is gain. I guess I'll stay a little bit longer with you to help you out for a while. But my heart is already in heaven. You guys understand this, right? How many of you go on vacation and your brain leaves at least a week, some of you 2 weeks, before your body ever catches up? Some of you looking at me like, yeah, I know what that's like, yeah. But it's true. But God wants us here for a purpose. And it's not to, you know, snatch us out of here. We got work to do, folks. We're to influence our culture. We're to influence this world that God has placed us in. here and now. I've got 5 minutes, so I want to hurry up. One of the things I want to do always is to give people something that they can walk out and take home and say, do. And God has called me, when I was a young man at 17 years old, he called me, he asked me, would you be a racist, would you be a bridge to the racist? And I said, yes, Lord. I had no idea what my life was going to turn out, but I loved God, so I said yes. It was an easy yes. But it's taken my life on a journey. Thing about bridges is that you really, really have to live in both camps, right? I've had many of our friends that would come to Kansas City when we leave here, friends and family, mainly family, would come here and they said, my God, don't you have some black friends? And I said, I never thought about that. We're just like friends. We do life together. That's just what we do. Our kids know each other. We have meals together. We pray together. Most of them, we go to church together. I understand how to live in their world. And so I had to build a solid foundation of understanding in that world. And then I lived in my world as a black man in America, born in the South. I know some of you are not going to believe this. I played basketball when I was the only black on the team. And that has its own issues all by itself. I think they were trying to rename me several different times. And it wasn't very kind, nor was it very good. But God put a hedge around me to protect my heart, to keep my heart soft. And he was relentless on me. He wouldn't let one seed of bitterness grow in my heart when it came down to race. And I remember one time encountering a man that had really done some things to Wanda and I that was just devastating. And the Lord asked me, just a couple of weeks later, to go over and say hi to him. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're not thinking straight here. Don't you remember what he did to me? It was unjust. It was unrighteous. And so I know the relentless of our Father. When he gets onto something, he didn't give up. And he just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. I thought, okay, let me just do it and get over with so you can get off my back. So I go over, and it was the most awkward thing I think I've ever done. There was an emotion in my body that agreed with the word that came out of my mouth. It was strictly obedience. And I went back, and I said, God, what was that all about? Why was that so important that I was speaking? He said, it had nothing to do with him. It had to do with you. He said, if I pull that seed of bitterness in its small root form, it's a whole lot easier than to wait till it gets full grown and then try to have to remove it. Years later, here I am in Harmony, pastoring our almost all white congregation. Would have been disqualified if I didn't love. If I knew I wasn't loved. Why was that so important? Because will people follow you? That's really the issue that most black pastors carry in congregations. The reason why they're wondering, will the white congregation or white people follow me? Not only did you follow us or me as a leader when John was out, we grew so much it was just unbelievable. We had to move in this place because we was out of room. Had nothing to do with me. It was all about the grace of God. And he has set that thing up. I'm telling you, God is, when you look back on your life, you're going to see God's handprint all over it. And some of us won't even know he was there. But the bridge has to be able to spend time in this place so that it can carry weight from one side to the other. So what do we do as Christians in this time? I got to quit. Okay, let me give you some real quick things. First of all, I want to say to Pastor John, kudos for what you did. The worst thing that a white pastor can do in a congregation of where he's got African Americans in it, when there's a controversy like this going on, is do nothing. Silence here or a mist here is a cloud in the pew. You don't know where he stands and what he believes. Number two, before you jump into relationships because you have this angst on your heart as a white person, you want to jump in there and do that, pray first.
Amen.
Pray first.
Yes. Yes.
Number three, this is what I'm saying, because I've been pulled right now by a lot of white business leaders and a lot of white pastors that said, I want to understand. That's a great question, and this is the time to understand. The first thing I tell them, don't talk, listen. And don't go out there and try to recruit somebody. Work with those people in your circle that has a knowledge of you. Why? If you go out there and start doing that just because a person is the color of skin, you're going to look ridiculous, first of all. Number two is disingenuous. You got an agenda. And we as black people, we've seen enough agendas. Number five. Realize this is a very deeply embedded wound in our nation, and the church has not in the past stepped into it. It's given opportunity to step into it now. But we need the wisdom of the Lord as to how that looks. Number six, humble yourselves. This is not about you. You don't have to agree with what a person says to listen. It's not about that. Just listen. Don't talk. Listen. I'll say it again. Don't talk. Please don't talk. Listen. You have no idea the wounds. I mean, this thing is embedded in our nation from the very founding fathers who also had slaves. Do you realize we're the only people group that's in America that was kidnapped from our country and brought here as slaves? Don't shout me down, because I'm telling the facts. It's history. It happened. And the last one, get involved. Do something. I had a guy call me. He said, yeah, let's go in prayer and see if the Holy Spirit will reveal what's in my heart. And I'm thinking, that's a good prayer, but I can tell you I ain't the Holy Spirit what's going on, because I've been around you long enough. And you don't have a clue what's going on. So I'm telling you, people, as strong as I know how to say it, this is the church's finest hour. And it's not just a racism thing, but that's a big thing. The Bible says this, this is Jesus' words, will know that you are my followers because of the love you have one for another. So you want to attract the world? There you go. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Just use the Bible, folks. Just believe it. Follow it. Leave your Americanized mindsets someplace else. When you vote American. But that's not your kingdom. And the president is not your Lord. Amen? John, why don't you come on up?
Don't worry about it. Well, what he said.
Yes.
It's so fun to watch. I had the privilege of giving James the first opportunity to speak many years ago after a prophetic word was given. And that's not the same guy. I'm not just talking because he's had more experience. I'm saying the Lord has done something in him. So that's not the same guy. Same man, I'm telling you. The burgeoning of his calling, it's that such a time as this thing. It really is. I told my wife that about him 2 nights ago. And he's like, so he says it about me. We might know each other. It really is true that the way we prove that Jesus is real is that the church, he spoke that to his own disciples, John 13, 34, 35. We have to love each other, and it's supposed to spill over outside of here. And if that's not true in here, it's hard for people outside of the church to believe it's true out there. That's the real deal, because we, when people have X-ray vision, there's no hidden agenda. And you have, the only way we can overcome the facts that people are convinced of is to live the truth that we're convinced of. And our truth will absorb their facts like that if it's real and alive. Amen? So that's where we find ourselves. So doing something. I was in touch with Pastor Mike the other day from New Direction Church, and we're working on a worship night that we will all do together. And so August or September, we're working on dates. I haven't even told our worship people this yet, so... because I want to get dates first before we can do that. And we're also praying against COVID, because we would love to do this where there's not 6-foot distancing. And, you know, we're, City of Kansas City tells us the guidelines, we're trying to do the guidelines. And so, but man, it'd be awesome if we could get together and then all sit around and do, you know, dessert together or something like that, and just find out who we are. Friendship is the issue. Relationship is the issue. It is in the local church, and it is in the body of Christ. So anyway, I really appreciate you coming today. I'm so appreciative of the, I know some of you, we didn't know that James was coming, and we didn't get this worked out till last Sunday night. So I wasn't able to make a whole lot of, I didn't promo it as fast and hard as we might have. But the issue is something's going on with him and his ministry. So I want you to pray for him. There is some wind in the sails. If this happens, this thing's going to go like that, and like it should have already happened that way. And it's cool to be able to be a part, isn't it? So, Lord, thank you for your goodness and your greatness, both. We want to say we've touched them both today. You are so kind, but you are so king at the same time. You're the king of kindness, and you're the kind king. And we want to be able to benefit from both your kingdom, your lordship, and your incredible kindness. So, Lord, would you cause us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling by which we have been called. And if we do that, we believe that we'll be drawing near to you, and that means you're drawn near to us, and things will happen. Holy Spirit, we honor you by honoring us with your presence this morning. And Lord, I pray that people all over the world will awaken to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, yes, to the glory of God the Father, and being in his family is the way to oneness and unity that we're looking for. We bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes.